Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Hidden Talents by Jane Ann Krentz, narrated by Amy McFadden. Prologue. She sat unmoving at the edge of the crystal-clear hot spring pool. The silvery vapor that hovered over the warm water twisted and curled in on itself, drawing her deeper into the trance. She gazed down into the liquid's fathomless depths and waited. Slowly, the vision took shape. Sunlight, warm and golden, poured into the white room. Somewhere in the distance, a waltz was playing. She held the infants cradled in her arms and watched the closed door. Soon it would open, and he would come to her. The door opened. A man walked into the white, sunlit room. He smiled at her.
"Damn," Serenity said. "Wrong man."
Chapter 1. "I think you should know that someone is trying to blackmail me," she said. Her name was Serenity Makepeace, and, until 30 seconds ago, Caleb Ventress had been giving serious consideration to having an affair with her. He had not mentioned the idea to Serenity because he had not yet finished assessing the situation. Never had he been more profoundly grateful for his natural inclination toward calm deliberation than he was at that particular moment. Caleb never made a move without first thinking through all aspects of a problem. He applied the time-tested method to his personal as well as his business affairs. He knew better than anyone else that his habit of approaching everything with an unemotional, logical detachment was one of the chief factors responsible for his phenomenal financial success. To date, his relationship with Serenity had been limited to a handful of meetings in his office, 3 working lunches, and 2 business dinners. He hadn't even kissed her. He'd planned to take that step tonight. It had been a near thing, Caleb realized. A strange cold feeling twisted through his gut as he acknowledged the close brush with disaster. What really bothered him was the uneasy feeling that Serenity Makepeace had the potential for making him ignore his own rules. She was unlike any other woman he had ever known. She fascinated him. If he had lived in another time and place, an era during which people routinely believed in superstitious nonsense, for example, he would have wondered if she had put some kind of spell on him. She sat there now, on the other side of his desk, ostensibly in his world, but somehow not quite of it. It was as if she had dropped into his reality from some alternate universe. Serenity Makepeace had eyes the color of a peacock's tail and a wild, fiery red mane that today was only partially controlled by a black ribbon tied at her nape. There was a fey quality about her that stirred the hair on the back of Caleb's neck. The odd little griffin pendant she wore somehow accentuated her aura of otherworldliness. She possessed an ethereal air that almost convinced him that she had been meant to dance in moonlight meadows at midnight rather than conduct business negotiations in a high-rise office. He sincerely hoped that she was better at dancing in the moonlight than she was at dealing with business matters. He'd had to guide her every step of the way through their recent contract discussions. The problem wasn't her lack of intelligence. She had a disconcertingly healthy amount of that quality. The difficulty was her lack of experience. Serenity managed a tiny grocery store in a small mountain community called Wits End. From what Caleb could discern, the store catered to an eccentric clientele of misfits and nonconformists, artsy-craftsy types and social dropouts. Serenity knew a lot about whole grain bread, beans, and tofu, but she knew virtually nothing about sophisticated business practices. That was where he came in, Caleb reminded himself. Serenity wanted to expand her small grocery into a mail-order catalog operation. She needed a startup consultant. Caleb was one of the best startup consultants in the Pacific Northwest, perhaps the best. He was very good at what he did. The Wits End by Mail project had been very different from Caleb's usual ventures. For one thing, he wasn't accustomed to working with people who were as unsophisticated about business as Serenity obviously was. His usual clients were high-powered corporate executives who sent their lawyers to work out the terms of the contracts. He rarely, if ever, consulted with small independent businesses the size of Wits End Grocery. The owners of such firms couldn't afford him. Serenity was no exception. She couldn't pay his usual fees either. The only reason Caleb had taken Serenity on as a client in the first place was because she had caught his attention and piqued his admittedly jaded professional interest. He had been bored with his own highly successful career, and with life in general, for longer than he cared to remember. He recalled Serenity's initial letter of inquiry quite clearly. The scope of her plans had amused him. "Dear Mr. Ventress, allow me to introduce myself. My name is Serenity Makepeace, and I need your help to save my hometown, Wits End, Washington. You have probably never heard of Wits End. It's located in the Cascade Mountains, approximately an hour and a half drive from Seattle. It is home to a variety of artists, craftspeople, and others who need an environment that accepts and nurtures independent spirits who choose unconventional lifestyles. I am well aware that I cannot afford your usual consulting fees, but I am prepared to offer you a share of the future profits. My goal is to create a viable mail-order business, an offshoot of my grocery store, that will provide an outlet for the unusual products of our local residents. I'm appealing to you, Mr. Ventress, because my community cannot survive much longer unless it is given a solid economic base. I am aware that this project is probably very small and insignificant compared to the consulting projects you normally handle, but I urge you to take on the task. I'm told that you're very good at this kind of thing. I am committed to saving my community. I believe that the world needs places like Wits End, Washington, Mr. Ventress. They are the last frontier towns, the only communities left that are suited to those who do not fit in well with the modern urban landscape. In a sense, we all need places like Wits End. And Wits End needs you, Mr. Ventress. Sincerely, Serenity Makepeace." On a whim, Caleb had invited Serenity for an interview. The day she had walked through the door 3 weeks ago, looking completely wrong in a conservative gray suit and matching one-inch heels, he knew he would be signing a contract with her. He had taken Serenity by the hand, and she had followed his experienced lead with charming naivete. If he'd really been trying to take advantage of her, he could have tied her up six ways from Sunday, and she would never have had a clue. Instead, 5 minutes ago, she had signed on the bottom line of what he considered a reasonably fair contract. Of course, he had given himself a very large, very flexible escape clause and left her with only one carefully controlled exit out of the deal, an exit that she would probably need a lawyer to find. Business was business, after all, and a contract was a contract. When it came to this part of his life, Caleb made it a habit to do things on his own terms or not at all. His escape route was spelled out in Section 6 of the contract. All he had to do was exercise it. Caleb did not take his eyes off of Serenity as he absorbed the body blow she had just dealt him.
"What did you say?"
he asked. There was virtually no chance that he had misunderstood her, but he had to make certain. Serenity cleared her throat delicately. "I said, someone is trying to blackmail me." A dark rage ignited somewhere deep inside Caleb. It had been so long since he had last felt such a powerful emotion that he almost failed to recognize the hot anger for what it was. For an instant, it threatened to overwhelm him.
"Damn it to hell."
Caleb made no effort to tone down the savage edge that etched his words. Serenity tilted her head to one side and studied him with a perplexed but very steady gaze. "Is something wrong?" That was taking the element of charming naivete a little too far, he thought in disgust.
He wondered what he had ever seen in her.
No one would have labeled her beautiful, he decided, making a desperate attempt to regain the cold, detached objectivity he had cultivated all of his life. Attractive, yes. Interesting, certainly. Amusing, even. But not beautiful.
Serenity's intelligent face was expressive and vivid. He had to admit that there was a natural elegance to her high cheekbones. He also conceded that there was something about her full mouth that made him think of sultry nights and damp, tangled sheets, even though this year October was proving to be cool and crisp in Seattle. Nope, she was not beautiful, but he had been riveted by her from the first moment she had walked into his office. He had wanted her. God help him, he still wanted her.
Under the circumstances, that's a rather idiotic question, don't you think? Caleb muttered.
I'm sorry, Serenity said politely. I realize this has probably come as a surprise to you. It certainly has to me.
Caleb spread his fingers flat across the gleaming surface of his glass and steel desk. Why would anyone blackmail you, Miss Makepeace?
I'm not sure.
Her red brows drew together in a serious, considering expression.
It was the strangest thing. The pictures were addressed to me at my hotel this morning. There was a note with them that said copies would be sent to you if I didn't break off my business dealings with Ventress Ventures immediately.
Pictures? Caleb's insides tightened. Please don't let it be what I think it's going to be. Of you?
Serenity blushed, but did not look away. Yes.
With someone? Caleb made himself ask very carefully. Maybe it wouldn't be so bad. Maybe they were photos of her with a past lover. She was 28 years old, he reminded himself. She was bound to have had a few affairs. He could handle that. He'd had a few of his own. Not many, but a few.
No, the pictures are of me alone. They were taken about 6 months ago.
Caleb set his back teeth. What exactly are you doing in these photos?
Nothing much. I'm just sort of lying around in most of them.
Just sort of lying around?
Caleb picked up a pen and tapped it very, very gently against the glass desktop. Ting, ting, ting.
The noise grated on his ears. What makes the picture suitable for blackmail purposes, Ms. Makepeace?
That's just the point. I don't think they are suitable for blackmail.
Her lovely mouth curved ruefully.
But someone apparently believes that they're potentially damning, at least in your eyes.
Why do you think someone might have that impression?
Serenity shrugged with graceful nonchalance. The airy motion made her look even more out of place in the prim little gray suit. I'm not exactly sure why anyone would think of them as blackmail material. I suppose it's because I'm not wearing much in any of them.
Just how much are you wearing in the pictures?
She touched the little griffin that hung from the chain around her throat. It was obvious that the pendant had originally been finished with an imitation gold overlay. The cheap veneer had since worn off in several places, allowing the inexpensive metal underneath to show through on the wings of the beast. Mostly, I'm just wearing this.
Nude photos, Christ.
Caleb threw down the pen and got to his feet. He shoved his hands into the pockets of his expensively tailored trousers and paced to the window.
Was this what it had been like for his family all those years ago? He wondered.
He brushed the fleeting thought aside. He knew very well that the old scandal had been 1,000 times worse for his grandfather and the rest of the proud Ventress clan. After all, his father, Gordon Ventress, had been married when the photos of his mistress, Crystal Brooke, had been sent to Caleb's grandfather, Roland. Crystal Brooke had been the stage name of the part-time model, would-be starlet, and full-time hustler who had gotten her bright red claws into the wealthy up-and-coming young politician from Ventress Valley, Washington. Caleb had never known his mother, Crystal. but he had been told a great deal about her during his youth. Her specialty had been nude spread shots for the sort of men's magazines that were not generally purchased because of the high quality of the articles. When the evidence of his son's affair with Crystal Brooke had reached Roland Ventress, the ensuing explosion had rocked the conservative farm town of Ventress Valley. Toughened by years of ranching, a stint in the military, and a streak of gritty stubbornness that ran in the family, Roland had flatly refused to pay the blackmail demand. The anonymous blackmailer had promptly sent the pictures to the Ventress Valley News. The editor of the town's only newspaper had been feuding with Roland Ventress at the time. He had gleefully printed a photo of Crystal that had been carefully cropped to make it suitable for a small-town paper. The accompanying editorial had fulminated against the declining morals and abysmal ethics of young Gordon Ventress. It had questioned his suitability for a seat in the state legislature. The resulting scandal had ripped the family apart. Gordon's elegant young wife, Patricia, raised in an old-money East Coast family, had done her duty up to a point. She had bravely stood by her husband until word came that Crystal Brooke had a baby son. Gordon freely admitted to being the father. The news that her husband had a child by his mistress proved to be too much for Patricia. Not even the sturdy notions of wifely fortitude and family loyalty that had been handed down to her by several generations of stalwart New England forebears could sustain her. She agreed to a divorce, the first in the history of the Ventress family. After a stormy confrontation with Roland, Gordon had gone back to Los Angeles to be with Crystal. He vowed to marry her as soon as his divorce was final. But that weekend, he and his mistress had both died in a fiery car crash. The only survivor had been their 3-month-old son, Caleb. Roland Ventress had followed in the proud tradition of the Ventress family. He had done his duty by his unwanted heir. With the glaring exception of Caleb's father, the Ventresses always did their duty. Roland went to Los Angeles to bury his only son and claim his grandson. He had grudgingly handled the arrangements for Crystal Brooke's burial also, simply because no one else had stepped forward to do it. Roland had brought the infant Caleb home to Ventress Valley and informed his grieving wife, Mary, and the rest of the family, which consisted of his nephew Franklin and his niece Phyllis, that in spite of the scandal, the Ventresses would uphold their responsibilities to the boy. Caleb was, after all, Roland's only hope for the future. Caleb had been dutifully raised and dutifully educated. He had been instructed in the duties and responsibilities that were expected of a Ventress. And he had never been allowed to forget, for one moment, that he was the result of the scandalous affair that had brought disaster on the Ventress clan. If it hadn't been for Caleb, everyone agreed, the scandal could have been dealt with eventually. Perhaps Crystal Brooke could have been bought off. Perhaps Gordon would have come to his senses and dropped his little bleached blonde mistress. If it hadn't been for Caleb, everything would have been all right. But Caleb existed. The indomitable Roland came to terms with that fact. He had then set out to ensure that the bad blood the boy had inherited from his mother was not allowed to surface. As for Caleb, he knew now that he had wasted most of his youth trying to satisfy a grandfather who viewed even the smallest of failures as evidence that Crystal Brooke's genes had not been successfully stamped out. Looking back on it, Caleb knew that for the most part, things had been all right during the early years when his grandmother had still been alive. Stricken as she was by her loss, Mary Ventress had eventually recovered sufficiently from her grief to refocus her natural maternal affections toward her grandson. Mary had learned to love Caleb, although she had never successfully concealed her hatred of the woman who had borne him. Whenever Caleb thought of his grandmother, he could not help but recall the sadness that had always been there, just beneath the surface. He had always known that somehow he was responsible for that deep anguish in Mary Ventress. After her death 8 years later, Roland had taken over the task of raising Caleb. Franklin and Phyllis had pitched in to help with the job. Both had been as concerned as Roland that young Caleb not be allowed to repeat his father's mistake. Caleb was well aware that he had been paying for the cheap photos of his mother all of his life. He understood the realities of blackmail better than anyone else. If there was one thing guaranteed to awaken the beast within him, it was blackmail. If there was one type of woman with whom he had vowed never to get involved, it was the sort who could be blackmailed because of sleazy nude photos. Photos such as those that had been taken of his mother. The realization that he had been planning to start an affair with Serenity Makepeace made Caleb want to smash the heavy glass top of his desk into a million glittering shards.
Who took the pictures?
Caleb forced himself to speak in a remote, neutral tone. It wasn't easy. He wasn't accustomed to dealing with such fierce anger. But he'd had years of practice controlling all his emotions, and he'd gotten very good at that kind of thing. He was good at a lot of things, he reflected bitterly. Serenity looked momentarily confused by his question.
What do you mean? A photographer took the pictures, of course.
What was the name of the photographer? Who was he working for?
Oh, I see what you mean, Serenity said. His name is Ambrose Asterly, and he wasn't working for anyone, unfortunately. His career had been in the doldrums for years. At one time, he was considered very good, though.
Is that right? Serenity apparently missed the sarcasm.
Oh, yes. He actually worked in L.A. Hollywood, you know. That was years ago. However, I'm told he was on the way to the top. But poor Ambrose has a drinking problem. It's ruined his life.
She had posed naked for a cheap, washed-up drunk of a photographer. Caleb's hand closed into a fist. The pictures had no doubt been barely good enough for the raunchiest of the skin magazines.
I see.
Ambrose has been doing a little better since he moved to Wits End a few years ago,
Serenity assured him earnestly.
He's made a couple of small sales, but he hasn't been able to get his career back on track. I felt sorry for him.
That's why you posed for him? Because you felt sorry for him?
Yes, and because whatever else one can say about Ambrose, there's no denying that he's a very gifted artist.
Damn it to hell.
Caleb stared down at Fourth Avenue, which lay 20 floors below his office window. Everything and everyone down there on the street seemed to be a long way off, just as most things did in his life these days. He preferred it this way. It made things simpler. At least it had, until recently. His carefully controlled emotional distance had initially been as a means of protecting himself from the silent accusation he had seen in the eyes of his grandparents and everyone else in the family. But lately, it seemed to him that the detached, clinically remote feeling he had relied on for years was unaccountably growing stronger. There were times recently when he felt as if he were starting to dematerialize. Ordinary life went on as usual around him, but he was only going through the motions, pretending he was part of what was happening, but knowing that in reality, he was not really a participant, just an observer. Nothing touched him, and he was not sure that he could touch anything in turn. It was as if he were becoming a ghost. But Serenity Makepeace had reached out and grabbed him in some manner that Caleb was helpless to explain. Emotions, strong, exciting, dangerous emotions, had begun to reemerge deep within him the day she walked into his office. The first thing he had felt was raw, energizing desire. It made him feel alive, as nothing else had in ages. Now he was experiencing rage. He should have known that Serenity was too good to be true.
Those photos must be very interesting, Ms. Makepeace, Caleb said.
He thought of the old photos and the newspaper clippings that were locked away in the little jewelry box that had belonged to his mother. Damning photos. The stuff of blackmail. The jewelry box, a gaudy case encrusted with large fake gems, was the only thing he had inherited from Crystal Brook. Roland Ventress had given it to him on his 18th birthday, along with yet another solemn warning not to make the same mistakes his father had made. Caleb had opened the jewelry case only once. It had remained closed and hidden away ever since. "Ambrose may have a drinking problem, but he's a talented photographer," Serenity said with what would have been touching loyalty under other circumstances. "The shots he took of me would be considered art by most people."
"Nude photos of you just sort of lying around? Give me a break. We're not talking about art. We're talking about the kind of shots that get published in cheap men's magazines."
"That's not true."
She was clearly shocked by his uncompromising attitude.
"The pictures were never published at all. But if they had been, I assure you it wouldn't have been in a tacky men's magazine. Ambrose's work is much too good for that kind of format. He deserves to be hung in the best galleries."
"He deserves to be hung, all right," Caleb muttered. "Look, you can drop the artistic outrage. I know exactly what kind of pictures Ambrose Asterly takes."
"You do?"
She brightened.
"Don't tell me you've actually seen his work."
"Let's just say I'm familiar with his style. It's obvious that he has a talent for producing the kind of photos that can be used for blackmail."
"But these pictures aren't like that," she protested. "I'm trying to explain."
"I don't want any more of your damned explanations."
There was a moment of startled silence behind him as his words went home. "So, whoever sent the note was right," Serenity said slowly. "You don't approve of nude art photography. Does this mean you'll want to break off our business arrangements?"
"I'm going to have to think about it."
"I see." He sensed her withdrawal, and the rage within him grew stronger. She was the cause of this, not him.
"Tell me, Serenity, what other talents do you possess? Do you act as well as model?"
"I beg your pardon?"
"I was just wondering if, by any chance, you've made a few films with Ambrose Asterly or some of his colleagues."
"Films?"
"You know the sort I mean. The kind that gets shown in X-rated theaters. The kind that are displayed in the adults-only section of the video stores."
"Good grief!"
Serenity was obviously affronted.
"What are you accusing me of?"
"I'm not accusing you of anything."
Caleb swung around and met her offended gaze.
"You're the one who announced that she was being blackmailed because of a bunch of nude photos. I just wondered how wide-ranging your talents actually are."
"You think I'm some sort of porn film star?"
Serenity leaped to her feet. She clutched her small briefcase to her like a shield.
"That's ridiculous. Look at me. Do I look like a woman who could make a living that way?"
He studied her slender, delicate frame dispassionately.
He was well aware that she lacked the plastic breasts and the aggressive sexuality that one associated with the models who graced the pages of cheap magazines and soft porn films. But there was a disturbing sensuality about Serenity that heated Caleb's blood whenever he was in the same room with her. It was an earthy, elemental thing that defied explanation. It was all too easy for him to envision her lying sleek and naked in some grassy meadow, her eyes full of feminine mischief, her mouth parted in invitation. A jolting thought went through Caleb. A photo that actually succeeded in capturing Serenity's ethereal sensuality probably would be a work of art. But those weren't the sort of pictures that got shot by a seedy, drunken has-been of a photographer who had once worked in L.A. Caleb sucked in his breath. He could not stomach the thought that Serenity had posed for the kinds of photos that could be used for blackmail purposes, photos like those that had destroyed his parents 34 years ago. He lashed out with the fury of a wounded beast.
"No, you probably wouldn't be much of a success as a porn star," Caleb said. "I suppose it's no surprise that Asterly failed to sell the pictures he took of you. You haven't got what it takes, have you?"
The blood rose into Serenity's cheeks. "I told you, Ambrose Asterly is an artist.
You can call him anything you like."
"You don't understand."
"I understand very well, Serenity. It's simple when you get right down to the bottom of it.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?